thinking of the rapture in that blessed home on high. When redeemed, oh, again redeemed, how we'll sing that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky. When the redeemed are gathering in, now when the redeemed are gathering in, watch like snow at the cross in. Oh, how we will shout, how we'll sing, now when the redeemed are gathering in. We will sing redemption story with our voices loud and long. When the redeemed are gathering in, then the angels have to listen, for they cannot sing this song. When the redeemed are gathering in, now when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from sin. Oh, how we're gonna shout and how we'll sing, now when the redeemed are gathering in. The Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet for when the redeemed are gathering in. And we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed are gathering in.
But the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Sunday night show, End Times Prophecy Weekly Update, folks. And things are moving. I'm glad we have 3 hours to do the show. I mean, things are moving rapidly. They're coming to a head real soon, folks. I think this month could be a humdinger. And we're going to share tonight what's happened. We're going to share now what's happened already in Colorado, terrorist attack. Things are really coming to an explosive head with the Russia and Ukraine, and things here. Terrorism on our land. The colleges, we could see how they're, not all of them, but a huge amount of them are given over to wickedness, given over to Hamas and the whole bit. So anyways, with me, I have Dave Hauser. And let me go fetch Dave.
Shalom and Maranatha, John.
Shalom and Maranatha to you.
Thank you.
And are you ready?
I'm ready, John. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen, Brother Dave. And those scriptures that you just read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 15, starting at verse 51, and the one that I read from 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, make the heart of the rapture doctrine. The Lord is coming for us, his bride, the church. He's going to meet us in the air. He's going to take us to heaven. And it says in 1 Corinthians 15:51, it happens in the twinkling of an eye. I call that a nanosecond. And then we are not resurrected, we're transformed. Those that are alive when the Lord returns, 1 minute we have a body, natural body, and a nanosecond, we've got a body immortal like Jesus Christ. I like that, Dave. How about you?
Amen, John. It's going to be a wonderful thing.
Amen. Amen. Okay, let's take a look at the blessed hope. The blessed hope is found in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, and it goes this way now. Looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So the rapture of the church, what we just read, is the blessed hope. That's the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The glorious appearing, that's his appearing to meet us in the air. The trumpet is going to blow. He's going to shout. There is the resurrection first, then followed by the transformation. That's looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Anything you'd like to add to what I just said, Dave?
Well, John, we've been documenting this over 40 years. There's such a direct correlation between current day events, specifically with Israel, Israel, Russia, Iran, the global monetary system, the decline in morality. It's so obvious now that it becomes a very powerful witnessing tool. So it's exciting, John. It's exciting, Don. The king is coming soon.
Amen. Amen. Okay, Dave. Now, not too long ago, there was a terrorist attack in Boulder, Colorado. Have you followed up on that, Dave?
Yeah, I saw it tonight. Horrendous. And I think you mentioned the terrorist's name was Mohammed?
Yeah, that's what I picked up here. In fact, I got some video I want to show everyone. So let me see if I can get that. I'm picking this off of X, and I'm not too familiar with X here. I'm trying to get the screen enlarged. I can show it, but there it is. I don't know how it happened.
I wish I had my gun with me.
The guy without she wishes she had a gun with her. The guy with the shirt off is the terrorist, and he's holding Molotov cocktails.
I wish I had my gun with me. I'd do it.
There's much more to it than this. There he is. That's they reported his name was Mohammed, and what he's holding is we call Molotov cocktails. He's throwing them now. People are on fire. There's one thing I want to show you. Remember, today is June 1st. And let me see. This might be the one.
We're here. We can't do that.
Somehow June has become linked with LGBTQ. And I'm going to stop this. I don't know where this is taking. I know it's in Boulder, Colorado. Let me see if I can get the picture bigger. There you go. I know this is in Boulder, Colorado, but up on top, I couldn't read. I don't know if this is City Hall or a college. campus. It's some, but anyways, look what flag is hanging. So what a picture this is. There is the homosexual flag, probably might be transgendered on top of it. And what is almost directly underneath it, but a Muslim terrorist throwing Molotov cocktails and setting people on fire. Amazing, folks. This is Gay Pride Month. Well, starting off with Muslim terrorists throwing Molotov cocktails right underneath a some sort of LGBTQ flag. Dave, any comments about that?
Unbelievable, John. And it's not surprising. When I talk to people about prophecy, one of the last things I tell them is that they'll see the entire planet ganging up on Israel and the Jewish people. And that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah, well, you could see it with your own eyes, the link there between, here is a picture. Well, yeah, I guess this is a picture of it. Well, I don't even want to show it. But I want everybody to see that link there between the terrorist. In fact, at some points, he was directly right underneath the homosexual flag. He might have been throwing those bombs while he was underneath the flag. Now, Dave, you were also at an event today in Babylon, is that correct?
Yes, John. It was June 1st that starts Pride Month. And in Babylon, they have a huge, it's almost like the Macy's Day Parade down the main street in Babylon. And I went last year, and what I did was, John, I had about 150 tracks, your 666 tracks, that are very, very informative about what's coming with the Mark of the Beast. So my wife went with me. I had my little, I had a hip replacement about 2 months ago. So I had my little walker, a very nice walker. So I was able to get around. And I talked to about 150 people in the space of about 2 hours. And it was an incredible blessing, John. And I made it very short and sweet. I explained that the track was written by a former Treasury agent. It talks about a global monetary system, the elimination of paper currency. And then I made him laugh a little bit. And I said, the government's going to know what type of peanut butter you eat, whether it's creamy, chunky, or jiffy. And I got him to laugh a little bit. But you have some videos that I sent you, John, don't you?
Well, Dave, I've gotten across the guy looked like Uncle Sam, only he's all decked out in the homosexual garb.
Yes, yes.
And tell the people what he's reading.
Well, he's reading your 666 track, John.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, about 150 people are reading it. And what I did was there was so many people there. If there was a group of like, say, 3 or 4 people, I would make them laugh. I said, I would walk up to them and say, who's the smartest person here? They'd all start looking at each other. We'd pick one person, and then I'd talk to that one person. This way, I was able to give it to more groups of people, you know. So it was very exciting, John, very exciting. And if you would have seen what I saw, it's beyond comprehension. Like I said, they have floats, people dancing in the streets. I sent you some pictures. We have, I think my wife took about 14 videos. We just sent you a few. But it was an amazing situation, John. And it was a real blessing that I was able to get out there and talk to people, you know. So very exciting.
Dave, you did send me a video, but I am unable to get it across for the people to see it. But they did see the man there reading the 666 surveillance system. In fact, I'm looking at your hand, and your hand has quite a few of them, and you got thumbs up at the same time.
Exactly. So, John, you're not able to, because I sent you an email. You were able to open them and look at them earlier, so you can't open them?
Dave, yeah. Trust me. If I could get it over here so the people could see it, I would do it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, but it was a very exciting. Plus, the weather was nice.
I'm able to get the picture, Dave.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, so the weather was nice, and the response out of the 2 hours, I think I only had 5 people that rejected my little presentation, which was pretty shocking because I tried to keep it amusing, and I don't expect people to immediately get saved, but this way they're informed that during the 7-year tribulation, if you participate in the mark of the beast, okay, the new monetary system, you're going to have an eternal problem. So this way they know about it before it happens. So it could have a big effect, John. Lord willing, it will.
Okay, Dave, hang on here. We might have the little video. I've been working on it.
Okay.
Dave, it's so complicated here to try and get and do it. But anyways, folks, I have it. It's a little video there, but I can't get it so you can see it at this point.
Okay.
And now I don't know if I can get the screen back or not. Go ahead, Dave. Keep this going because I'm lost here in my technology trying to get everybody so that they can see. Oh, here we are. All right. I think I'm back now. Okay, Dave. It's too complicated for me to get it up, but there's a video.
Yeah, no problem.
Of Dave there in Main Street in Babylon. And shall we say there's some colorful people there in the background, Dave?
Well, the video was they had a large float. Like I said, it looked like the Macy's Day Parade. Some of the floats had, 20 or 30 people dancing. They had music going on. There was transvestites. There were people, guys dressed up as girls. I mean, John, it was like you were visiting Sodom and Gomorrah. That's how crazy it was.
Okay. All right. So folks, that's what happened in Babylon today, where Dave lives. But God was glorified because, Dave, how many brochures do you think you handed out?
About 150, John. Like I said, we were out there for about 2 hours, and I wish I had more, Like I said, I kept it short and sweet. I only talked to the people for like maybe a minute or so, and it worked out really good, John. Very exciting.
Okay. All right. Now we have the big thing that's going on now, folks, is what's happening in Boulder, Colorado. It's very interesting. The major news sources wouldn't give the guy's name up, and they didn't show any video of it. Now, I went to the Gateway Pundit. It's one of the best news sources out there. They had those videos I showed you were from the Gateway Pundit, and they had his name as Mohammed. So what do you think of that, Dave?
Well, obviously I'm not shocked, John. The only solution is the second coming. When we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, there's going to be no peace until the second coming. And am I shocked that the guy's name is Mohammed? Absolutely not, because if you follow what Mohammed said to do, he's doing exactly what Mohammed told the Muslims to do. The Jews are apes and pigs. They desecrate holy sites. You have to terminate them. So he's, how can you say, he's following Mohammed just the way he should, which is very sad.
Very sad, yeah. Okay. All right, Dave. Now we have... Dave, let's talk a little bit more about what's going on in Boulder, because it was just like a week ago that two actually believing Jews, believing in the Lord, were murdered in the streets of D.C. They came out of some event, and the
it was a museum.
Yeah, but there was something going on in the museum, and the terrorist had bought a ticket, and he was in there, and for some reason he picked these two out and followed them outside and shot them out in the street. I know there were 21 rounds fired, that I found out, but those 20, he may have hit them with 21 bullets, Dave, because he was right there, right, arm's length behind him. So now we've got. Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
I'm sorry. I saw the video. He was screaming, "Free, free Palestine! Free, free Palestine!"
Right. Right. And now I'm going to say a week later, we have these Molotov cocktails being thrown at this event. And the event was some sort of a march to free the Israeli hostages in Denver. No, in Boulder, Colorado. So, Dave, this here is really heating up now because we know what's going on at the college campuses. What has gone on in the college campuses. And then there have been marches like in New York City, I know that, against Israel and the Jews. And now in the last, not much more than a week, we have two Israelis, Jewish believers in the Lord, murdered. And now this attack, and I got a bad feeling about it, Dave. How about you?
Well, John, this is just the beginning. This is the tip of the iceberg. A couple of things happened this week that's going to get the world even more intensely aggravated at Israel. The Israeli government is allowing 22 new settlements in Judea. The world calls it the West Bank. And they want to move maybe 500,000 Jewish people into the West Bank. Well, the United Nations already said that it's a international crime for Jewish people to be in the West Bank, Judea. And then I think it was France, Britain, Saudi Arabia, and another country is putting a proposition at the United Nations to unilaterally declare a Palestinian state. They want to divide Jerusalem. They want to make Jerusalem the Palestinian capital and unite Gaza, the West Bank, divide Jerusalem. John, it's so obvious. Zechariah, Jerusalem and Judea will be a burdensome stone and all the nations of the earth will be gathered together against them. And, let me tell you one other scary thing. Sorry. At the parade, there was two floats from churches, an Episcopal church, a Methodist church, and I think an Episcopal church or a Presbyterian church that are in Babylon. They were driving down the main street with, pride flags, two Christian churches. Insanity, John.
Dave,
they've been spiritually lobotomized.
I'm able to post this short video so the people can see you now holding the 666 brochure.
Okay, good.
Here, so I'm going to show it right now.
Oh, good. Awesome.
All right, Dave.
Excellent.
I was able to.
Yeah, so that was. That's what the parade looked like, John. Nonstop.
Now I can't, Dave. I got you back on, but I can't get me back on. So you did it now. All right, here we go. I got so many things open. That's why I had trouble finding my way around. But anyways, everybody's got to see Dave what went on. Thank you, Dave. Seriously.
Right.
That's wonderful for you to go out to witness to them. And the brochure is non-threatening to them.
Oh, not at all, John. I had them laughing. They were thanking me because I did a funny presentation, about peanut butter.
All right.
All right.
Okay. Well, there's a whole bunch of things going on here about the Middle East folks, and let me get over to it. Dave, what I wanted to bring up is exactly what you said. Israel has decided to, what will be the word? To claim 22 more settlements in the West Bank, not the West Bank, Judea and
right.
Samaria. And there's a confrontation coming. I believe it's the 17th and 18th of this month in the UN. And
right.
Macron of France is leading. Saudi Arabia is going to be with him. Great Britain is going to be with him. I think Canada is going to be with him. And Germany, Dave?
Yeah, it's a good possibility. Yeah.
Yeah, and they are going to set up a schedule with a timeline of making two states. They're going to create a Palestinian state. Well, what's very interesting today, which I posted on the blog, but I can't get to it because I've messed up everything. But anyways, on the blog, I posted an article from the Secretary of Defense in Israel saying if they do that, France and the French cohorts there go to the UN and do that, that Israel is going to unilaterally annex sections of Judea and Samaria and maybe Gaza, Dave, maybe Gaza. Israel said they will not be bullied. They will not allow Hamas to be rewarded for what it done. So they feel that Israel feels that Hamas will be rewarded if France demands that a Palestinian state is created, and they're not going to allow Hamas to be rewarded. All right. Now, what do you think of that?
Well, John, Benjamin Netanyahu basically said that if they do something like this, it's they're rewarding terrorists.
Exactly.
And, you know, Hamas is very, very clear. You know, October 7th, what they did with the Jewish people, their covenant, they want to kill every Jew on the planet. But then you have the Palestinian Authority. They have a particular situation that it's called pay for slay. So if you kill a Jew, not only, you know, like if you go thrown in jail, you know, they'll, you know, support your family. They spend millions of dollars supporting terrorists, and it encourages people to kill Jewish people. And when they do kill a Jewish person, they pass out candy. So how can you deal with these people? And, you know, John, you know, people, you know, logically think there's a solution. There is no solution. It's a religious war, okay? There is no solution. And, oh, John, one big thing I want to mention, too.
Hey, Dave.
Ben-Gavir.
Dave.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. You're all excited. Slow down a little, Dave, when you're talking.
Sure. Sorry. Ben-Gavir, that's in the Knesset, he's a right-wing politician. He basically led a whole group up on the Temple Mount and basically said the status quo is now changed. And he was with a whole bunch of Jewish people, and the status quo does not allow Jewish people to pray on the Temple Mount. And he had Jewish people praying on the Temple Mount. So not only are we having problems with Gaza, you know, obviously Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, the West Bank, it's just every day that goes by, it's getting more intense, John, and there is no solution.
No, I didn't see that in the news. So what you're saying
it was in the news.
Is,
yeah. Ben-Gavir, they had a video of him. Yes.
Okay. So right now, he's opened it up so that everybody can pray on the Temple Mount.
He's saying that there's a change in the status quo. Uh-huh. Benjamin Netanyahu is basically saying there's no change, but the actions that he's taking are creating the change in the status quo.
Yeah. The Jewish police are going to arrest Jews for praying on the Temple Mount, Dave?
Well, they didn't. And
right.
Ben-Gavir isn't, they're not.
Right. So you could see that whole thing is coming down, Dave. That whole thing about the Temple Mount and how the Jews have been blocked. They couldn't do this. They couldn't do that. Jewish politicians couldn't go up, like rabbis couldn't go up on top. That whole thing is really collapsed now.
Right.
Okay. All right. This is exciting. And the article that I have is Judea and Samaria expansion, clear message to Marcon. Quote, Israel will strengthen the Jewish communities of Judea and Samaria in response to the French President Marcon's intent to recognize a Palestinian state. Defense Minister Israel Katz said on Friday. Katz spoke during a visit to Shanur, a community in northern Samaria that was forcibly evacuated during the 2005 disengagement, which saw four Jewish towns and Samaria destroyed, along with 21 in the Gaza Strip. Now, I was there in June of 2004, and the Israelis pulled out of those four places in northern Samaria in August, and along with they were called Gush Katif. I don't know what that meant, but in Hebrew, collectively those the towns were called Gush Katif. And I was in one in the very far northern part, and I've got pictures of it. So that may have been community that I was in. That was event. That's Dave. We were up there. Pastor Fred was with me, and his wife. Yeah, she came. Darlene came also, and the police came. Well, not the it was the military came. And the military came and said it was too dangerous for us to be there. We were in a bulletproof bus. The windows were like, I mean, really thick, and you couldn't see too well out of them. The glass was so thick. They said it was too dangerous, and they escorted us out. And I think that's the place where we were. So now what happens is Israel saying we're taking them back. We're taking them back. They were given over to the Muslims, and they're taking them back now, right now, Dave. So this is, you can feel how aggressive Israel is becoming. And then the 21, villages that were in Gaza, they were very close to the Egyptian border. They were in the southern part of Gaza. And Israel has that under control now. So, Dave, if Marcon announces a Palestinian state, Israel may reclaim, at the same time, Israel may reclaim those 21 villages in southern Gaza that were there up until the settlers were driven out. So this is incredible what's happening, Dave. Any comment?
Well, it's accelerating, John, and you can't blame the Jewish people. If you look at a global map, okay, and the Arabs don't need more land, and I think, you know, Jordan, the United Nations basically said, you know, hey, Jordan is a Palestinian state. And like I said, John, there is no solution. It's just very, very sad. It's a religious war, and the people that, how can we say, are committing these atrocities against Israel, you know, they think they're going to be martyrs. You know, they're going to go into heaven with all the virgins, and the Palestinians pay their families. So it's a mess, John. It's a mess. And, you know, Israel, you know, what's interesting, Benjamin Netanyahu got a copy of your book. When was that, John?
I don't remember. It was before.
Yeah, it was, when they celebrated the Balfour Declaration, I think it was 2017.
November of
2017, right. Yeah, Gary Krupp, a friend of mine, I gave him the copy of the book, and he presented it to Benjamin Netanyahu. And part of the presentation was that they talked about Ezekiel 37, the dry bones, and Benjamin Netanyahu says, oh, I'm very familiar with the dry bones. I love the dry bones. So there's a possibility, you know, your book basically says, hey, if you don't bless the Jewish people, and especially if you try to divide the land, you're going to have a problem. So, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu is pedal to the metal trying to protect the Jewish people and basically preserve God's eternal gift to them. It's their land. He's the landlord.
Well, Dave, in this article here, adding to what you're saying, Israel says it's going to establish 21 more new villages in Judea and Samaria, not in Gaza at this point, Judea and Samaria. And they're waiting for Marcon. Now, quote, this is a crushing response to the terrorist groups trying to harm and weaken our hold on this region. But there's also a clear message to Marcon and his friends. They will establish a Palestinian state on paper, but we will build the Jewish Israeli state here on the ground. How's that, Dave?
Very, very clear, John. And, you know, we don't have details about what the United Nations wants to do, but I'm assuming they're going to be talking about Jerusalem, you know, like especially East Jerusalem, being the capital of the new Palestinian state.
Right.
So,
oh, that goes without saying, And Israel's not, it's going to all boil down. Well, in this case here, it's like Judea, you know, and Jerusalem. That's what the Bible says. But really, we're looking at Jerusalem. I mean, they're going to say that East Jerusalem is the capital of a Muslim state. And Israel's going to say, no, it's not. And it's going to come down to Jerusalem. It's amazing, Dave. The prophet Zechariah, approximately 520, maybe 510 BC, so 2,600 years ago, wrote that, Dave. And look how alive it is today in our time.
It's very, very clear, John. Very clear. Direct, a direct correlation.
Yeah. All right. Some update here on more information about Israel. The Iran is racing to prepare for Israeli airstrikes against it, or U.S. strikes. They have done everything they can to upgrade their plane defenses since last time when Israel attacked them. Of course, Israel is ready to go. And the Iran has upgraded the Houthis' air defenses. And Israel acts like it's not even there. So it doesn't look good for Iran in case of a coming war with Israel. And Dave, going by the prophets, the only mention of Iran before the Ezekiel 38 and 39, because in Ezekiel 38 and 39, Iran is Persian, is in Jeremiah 49. And it's a short, just a couple verses. And it's about an area, a nation called Elam. Elam makes up part of Western Iran, and Persia makes up the rest of Iran. And something terrible is going to happen to Elam, and the people are going to have to flee. So, Iran is not a big player in what's coming, Dave. It's a big player in the next war when Russia is leading the attack on Israel, or at least the area that is identified as Russia. So, it doesn't look good for Iran. I don't think, Israel is going to nuke. I don't think Iran is going to be nuked, but Iran's nuclear program is coming to an end, Dave, soon, really soon. And from reading this article and other articles, it does appear, Dave, that this is very, very, very close. Trump asked Israel not to attack Iran, but I don't know, Dave. Unless Iran is going to stand down with its nuclear program, Israel's not going to stop. Israel will take Iran out. And again, from everything I'm reading, it's like Iran is racing to do everything it can to build its defenses. And apparently Israel has dotted its I's and crossed the T's for this coming attack on Iran. And they said that to take out Iran's military and that it's a nuclear program, at least to the maximum that Israel can do it. Israel has their largest ordnance is a 4,000-pound bomb, and I think the F-15 carries it. It would take bombing after bombing after bombing to break 500 feet in the ground where Iran's nuclear program is hidden there, where America has the 30,000-pound bomb, and one or two of them would do the job. So with Israel, it would be kind of a long time, well, relatively long, like 2-3 weeks to take out Iran's, at least destroy it so it couldn't be functional. And along the way, they're going to take out Iran's missile systems, perhaps its navy, and maybe that nuclear power plant, Dave, the Bashar nuclear, they may take that out too. So there we go. You've been saying for many, many, many years that the problem with Iran and its nuclear weapons is kicking the can down the street. Well, I think finally, Dave, we're at the end of the street now. There's no more can kicking. Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, John, exactly like you said. One other dramatic situation is the United Nations, the Atomic Energy Agency, basically has documented that Iran has enough enriched uranium. They said 9 or 10 nuclear weapons. So they basically already have enough uranium to make these nuclear weapons. And Israel has to do something. And there was another meeting supposedly between top Russian officials and Iran, where they now sealed an even more, comprehensive military alliance. So the stage is set, John. The actors are in place. The curtain's rising. Like I said, one Sunday night, whether it's going to be the Monday morning before, one day soon, it's going to be on the news, John. And sad to say, it's going to cause such a huge economic catastrophe, because Iran has already threatened to shut the Strait of Hormuz. They obviously have the Houthis as an Iranian proxy. They can, work on shutting down some, traffic in the, Red Sea going in through the Suez Canal. So it could really be catastrophic. Insurance prices could go through the roof. Oil prices could go through the roof. So it's going to be catastrophic. And like I said, instead of the world pointing its finger at Iran, they're going to, blame Israel probably.
Well, Dave, you mentioned Russia. So while on this side, before you leave, I think it's worthwhile to mention what just happened with Ukraine and Russia.
That was pretty amazing.
What the Ukraine did is somehow, folks, and of course, I don't know how they did it, but they did it. They built hundreds and hundreds of drones. I think like 400, somewhere in that between 300 and 400. They built them in Russia. So apparently there's an underground, and there is, I know for sure, but I didn't realize it was this extensive. There is an underground anti-Putin element in Russia. They have sabotaged a lot. They have assassinated some of Putin's top generals and politicians. So they built these drones. And they have them in trucks, so they're all ready to go. Now, Russia just attacked Israel with the largest attack of the war. This just took place, like, I think it was yesterday or the day before. So I guess the timing was great for the Ukraine. So we're talking, Dave, what was it, like 2,000 miles away from Ukraine, these attacks took place?
Right. Yep.
Yeah. And they were spread out throughout Russia. And the Ukrainians went after the Russian bomber fleet, because that bomber fleet is the one that would carry the missiles. They don't fly over the Ukraine because the Russian planes will get shot down. So they fire them, in Russia to go into the Ukraine. And then they turn and they go back. But they fire these long range, they're very fast, these missiles, into the Ukraine. And they just did a lot of damage like 2 days ago. So I think it was this morning, our time, the Ukraine launched all these missiles, these drones, And Dave, they took out 41 of the these bombers that have been attacking Israel, Ukraine, and they are they fire those nuclear. They can fire nuclear warheads in the planes. They're like their bombers. But I there was some confliction about this. Either they just took out a third of the Air Force or a half, Dave. That's the damage that Ukraine has just done to Russia. And the planes were, I saw a video from a distance, and those military bases were just up on fire, all these planes burning. Dave, they just destroyed a third or a half of the Russian bomber fleet, and the Russians can't replace them because they don't have the money or the technical ability to do it anymore, Dave. Yeah, Dave.
Yes, I saw that, John. Incredibly sophisticated attack. And if things are going to go the way it's been going, Russia is probably going to somehow retaliate with an even more devastating attack.
The Dave, U.S. administration. Hold your thought, Dave.
Sure.
In conjunction with that, the Ukrainians also attacked Russian railroads. Did you hear that, Dave?
No, I did not. I didn't hear that one.
Yeah. They attacked Russian railroads, and they destroyed a whole bunch of trains and collapsed bridges. So I saw pictures. I mean, the engines were completely, totally destroyed. I mean, totally, Dave. So not only did they attack the Air Force, but they attacked the train system. Here, let me read this to you. This is an article that just came out before the show. Swarms of drones from parked trucks destroyed Putin's bombers. The planes targeted are some of Russia's most treasured military assets, the long-range nuclear-capable Tupolev TU-95 Bear and the TU-160 Blackjack, the largest combat aircraft in the world, and supersonic TU-22M3 Backfire, all planes regularly used to strike Iran. Earlier in the day, a wave of bombings, presumably from Ukrainian sabotage teams, also targeted Russian railways, derailing trains and killing at least 7 passengers in what Moscow called acts of terrorism. The attacks came after Russia carried out its largest drone on Ukraine since the war began on Saturday night. It also fired a missile at a training base, killing soldiers and forcing the senior Ukrainian army commander to resign. So, The Ukrainians coordinated the attacks on the railroads and the military, the air bases at the same time, Dave. Yeah, Dave?
Yeah, John. Oh, Greg is calling me. Hold 1 second.
Okay. All right, folks. We'll get back to what's taking place in the Ukraine and in the second hour, but I want to stay focused on Israel because there's just incredible things happening here in America also. And one of the major things is President Trump is determined, absolutely determined, to crush these universities that are promoting anti-Semitism and supporting Hamas. And from everything I'm reading, Harvard is like the flagship of the hard left here and supporting China and Hamas and all. But there are many other universities, and apparently all, I'm following this, is every university is being scrutinized, and they're all going to get Harvard treatment, but they don't cooperate. So this is amazing. This all of of the anti-Semitism on campuses is being identified, not only Harvard, but all of them. And all of this DEI, all the hard left stuff is being purged out of the every university, unless it wants to have its, because Trump is right now working on getting the tax exemption removed from Harvard. There are about 33rd of Harvard University is foreign students. They're blocking Harvard from, they're gonna fine or penalize Harvard for a year, a minimum of a year, no foreign students. So they're gonna lose a third of their income there, a third for teachers and everything else that goes with it. Trump has cut off all the contracts they have with Harvard, and that's like $2 billion, I think is what I came across. So they've lost $2 billion in contracts, research contracts in that. And then they're losing a third of their school population. They're not going to be able to have any foreign students for at least a year, but maybe more. And then there's a very, very good chance they're going to lose their tax exemption for what they've done. So this is going to, I mean, I could easily see this going up into like $5 billion and more. So Harvard thought it was, could do anything it wanted because it was the flagship of the hard left here. It was the flagship of Islam, really. It was leading the charge. On one side, it was leading the charge for communist China. On the other side, it was leading the charge for Islam. And Trump stepped right in the middle, and he's literally, if they don't submit and succumb, Harvard, he's going to crush them. The courts won't be able to, even the corrupt courts won't be able to stop this. I mean, it's the law and the Constitution is clear that he has every right to do what he's doing. The courts have absolutely no authority in this. So, Dave, are you still there?
I'm still here, John, yes.
All right. That's the big, some of the big news, Dave. We've got this huge battle taking place in the Ukraine now, and Trump is trying to talk truce and all. There's supposed to be a meeting tomorrow, I believe, in Istanbul with the Ukraine and Russia. But it seems like, Dave, it's really accelerating between them. I don't think either one want. How can you have it? They have to want to have a truce, Dave.
Yeah, it doesn't look like they want to have a truce. It looks like they want to continue, which is a lot of death and destruction.
Ukraine has this ability. I mean, Russia can't defend itself against Ukraine. It just lost like a third of its fleet, whatever amount. Maybe it's half of one type of plane and a third. I think that's what it was. They lost half of this type of a plane and a third of the other. But they lost a third of their air fleet, and they can't produce enough ammo. They got to get the ammo from North Korea. So this is a really dangerous. And how many ships did the Ukraine, how many Russian ships did the Ukraine sink, Dave? Wasn't it 20 something? And they're black. They destroyed like a third of the Black Fleet. And now Iran with Israel, it's right on the edge. It's been on the edge for a while, but this is the edge of the edge. And then, of course, what happened was China put out what's called a white paper. It's like military doctrine. It's like political military doctrine. And in it, it really is pinpointing us, America. And I'll share more of it in the next hour. But basically, China is going for world domination, and it's not going to let the United States stop it. That's what this white paper was about. And part of that not stopping China was tariffs. That China is going to look at Trump's use of tariffs as like war. So part of actual war. You could say it's an economic war, but more than that, it's part of like a shooting war. You know, war can have phases to it. You can have countries that an economic war, but not at like military war. Well, China's looking at this as like a big picture of being literally war against the United States. All right, Dave, we're at your witching hour now. You're about to turn into a pumpkin or something.
Yes, yes, yes. That usually happens right around 10 o'clock. So, John, do you have that one picture that Henry sent us, Henry from Malawi?
Dave, I'm looking at it right now. The trick is okay. To get it over to where everybody can see it. So let me see. Go ahead, Dave. I'm trying to get it over.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, this is Henry Kaduza. We've been working with him for a long time. And he sent us a little email. We sent him a medium-sized box, and he's doing really well. So he says, I would like to thank God through your provision for gospel materials. The ministry in Malawi is now able to reach and bring many lost souls to the Lord, evidenced by the turnout during last Sunday's prayer meeting. It's apparent that the materials are a great tool bringing lost souls back to God. It's our prayer that there will be a constant supply of the materials. Please put us in your prayers if we have a number of prayer meetings lined up the upcoming weeks. God bless you, Henry Kaduza. So, like I said, we've been working with Henry for a long time. And, John, did you get the picture up or not yet?
Yes, I did, Dave. I was successful.
Okay, excellent. Now, John, I'm going to give you a quiz. Guess how much it cost us to get that specific event happening. How much did that cost?
You've already told me.
You probably already. I know. So, okay. So you can tell me.
$100.
Very a good guess, John. Good guess. So it was $100. Now think about it. For us to send an evangelist from the United States to Malawi, wherever that is, someplace in Africa, you get the idea. It's going to cost a lot more than $100. Now, the exciting thing is this, John. We have a big opportunity. The pastors that we've been working with over the last couple of years, just this week, I got 20 requests, not just from Henry, from different pastors all over Africa. And what's interesting, it's starting to spread now. For many, many years, it was just Kenya. But I'm just trying to think which countries. Ethiopia, Rwanda, Malawi, and maybe the Sudan. So we've gotten requests from different countries, and the problem is funds. So if anybody's listening that has an extra $100 that wants to sponsor what just happened, we can do this all over Africa. So that's the story, John. We need funds for shipping. Last month, only $100 came in, donations from the entire ministry, only $100. A while back, $4,000 a month was coming in. I was shipping one medium-sized box a day, like 20 boxes a month. So, like I said, we just need help. And it'll be a blessing if we can get things going again, John. Because, you know, everybody knows what the Great Commission is. You know, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth in this baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. We have a commission. We're ambassadors for Christ. So it's very easy for me to fill a box up and go to the post office. I don't have to travel to Malawi or Kenya. And the pastors are desperate for materials, John. And they're following what's going on, just like, you know, we're following. They know the Lord is coming soon. So that's the story, John. So is Brother Greg there?
Brother Greg is, there he is.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, Brother Greg.
Hello.
Hello, Brother Greg.
Yeah, Dave. This is really some good stuff happening.
Amen. So, guys, God bless you. I'll talk to you guys during the week. Thank you for listening.
All right. God bless you. Now, here we go. There we go. All right. Brother Greg, thank you for being here. And we're going into the second hour now. And I have, I don't even think I touched. Let me go take a look. I don't think I touched
all the information involving Israel. Here we go. So let's take a look at some more of these articles. Two-state solution, and that is to kill Jews and destroy Israel. That's the solution. And the closer Israel gets, folks, to destroying Hamas, the more desperate the world comes, like Macron and his cronies, and also the Arab states and all. They'll shed tears when Israel is heavily damaged and people die. But if Israel's victorious, then the real venom, real snakes are seen. And that's exactly what's happening now. They're desperate because Israel is in the final stages of completely, totally destroying Hamas. And the French and the Brits and the Canadians and the Saudi Arabians can't stand it. And that's why, so this month, folks, is coming to a head. Because if this is passed at the UN, it's going to be a direct confrontation now with Israel. And Israel says, you're not creating a Palestinian state. It will be a terrorist state, and you're not creating it. So, Greg, what do you think of this showdown this month? Probably in about between 2 and 3 weeks, we ought to have this confrontation.
Yeah, we've been through just about everything, and this is really right now we're right at the edge.
Yes, we're right there. We're right there. All right, I have a very interesting article. It's called Foxes in the Vineyards, Israel's very own subversives. And it's a really interesting article that there is a group in Israel exactly like the United States. And I've been saying that for a long time. The Israel haters in Israel are exactly like the American haters in America. So there is a general, his name is Yar, funny first name, Golan, like the Golan Heights. And he's like the Democrats here. So he has accused the Israeli army of killing babies as a hobby in Gaza.
And yeah, right.
Yeah, Netanyahu went berserk on this. So that's how low life they are in Israel, folks. They have no scruples whatsoever. These people are literally reprobates. Their minds are dead. So this is Netanyahu now. There's little difference between Golan's blood libel and the one that emanated from the radical biased UN United Nations, which on May 21st falsely claimed that Israel was going to starve to death 14,000 Palestinian babies in Gaza in the following 48 hours. Netanyahu said the remarks of Golan were outrageous with no limit or moral decay. While we are engaged in a multi-front war, Netanyahu's, and leading complex diplomatic efforts to free our hostages and defeat Hamas, Golan and his allies and the radical left are echoing some of the most vilest anti-Semitic blood libels against IDF soldiers and the state of Israel. They are exactly the same as here in the United States.
Yeah.
Exactly. Greg, I don't think not one politician in the Muslim world would say that, because they would be killed. They just absolutely kill them. So the same thing in China, in all those countries. So yeah, they would kill him for talk like that. Go ahead, Greg.
Well, one thing that really got to me yesterday when the two people came out of the whatever they were doing, and they were getting ready to get married. They were Jewish. It's just a really a great looking little thing, and it's just like, I don't know, it's just crazy.
Oh, you mean the two that were killed?
Yeah, I mean, it's bizarre.
Well, that's the hard left Muslim communist mind now. It's like the communist and the Muslim mind has merged, and it's death, Greg. It's death. And if they have their way, they'll do it to every single one of us.
Oh, yeah.
If they have their way.
For sure.
Folks.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Greg, did you see the news this evening about what happened in Colorado with the... Okay.
That was... Do you want to run it over again? I don't know how many people have listened to it.
Well, we covered it in the first hour.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. All right. That's what's going on now. Now, Harvard, like I said, I'm borderline obsessed with Harvard. I mean, it's like my dream come true. This disgusting, God-hating, Christ, Bible-hating, arrogant, in bed with the Muslims, loving the communist school. And they existed even under Trump's first administration. You know, I think it really started under Obama, really opening up the floodgates of hell in Harvard. But they thought they were invincible and they could do whatever they wanted. And Trump said, no, you can't. So now this is a fight to the finish, because Harvard is in a dogfight. And between the taxes that they'd have to pay for losing their tax exemption, one third of the student population is gone. And with all that money covering them coming from Saudi Arabia into Harvard, you know, Saudi Arabia would make huge donations, huge. That's all gone. All the government contracts they had are gone. So Harvard is going to be turned into like a community college, right? And I love it. I mean, I'm obsessed with it. I'm waiting for the courts to agree with Trump that he can suspend the visas for the foreign students, and they're out. One third are gone. Overnight, they're gone. And that tax thing will take a while because the IRS will be very, very thorough about removing Harvard's tax exemption. And Trump is 100% right. They're supporting a terrorist group, Hamas. They have allowed Jewish students to be in terror on campus. So how can they possibly keep their tax exemption? They're not obeying the laws. So this is going to be something, and I'll keep you. As I watch this, folks, I'll be posting it. Now, you mightn't be as addicted as I am, but I'll keep you on the cutting edge of what's going on with Harvard. All right, Brother Greg?
Well, Elizabeth Warren is one of them.
Oh, yeah.
She is like a yuck. I mean, she is like beyond the point.
Greg, I'm going to ask you to use her nickname. Do you remember her nickname that was so aptly applied to her by President Trump? Her nickname is Pocahontas. Because she claimed she advanced her way all the ways up through these universities and everything else, becoming a senator, claiming that she was part Native American. And she literally has zero Native American in her DNA, literally zero. But yet, that's how she said she had high cheekbones, which of course indicates that She was, I don't know what that means. Like, I don't know. I mean, I've seen Native Americans and they don't look, I don't see high cheekbones. Maybe some of them do like everybody else. You know?
Well, okay. Elizabeth Warren has a hard time keeping help at her house. It's the kind of big house. I used to drive by it a lot when I was in Boston area. She is all so disgusting. You can't even, you know, some people can keep people working and everything, and other people cannot do it. And she's in that category.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I want to cover a little more ground here, Greg, about Israel, and I want to get over to what's going on and everything else. All right, now, Greg, Israel has put into production laser weapons, and these laser weapons have taken down drones, apparently. So here's a quote from the article. IDF reveals it used laser weapons to destroy projectiles in war. An historic breakthrough. The IDF on Wednesday announced that it had unmanned laser defense system similar to the much celebrated iron beam laser system, has shot down dozens of aerial threats during the war. We are currently integrating these insights into the system under development while expanding the range of the laser-based systems to protect Israeli civilians and IDF forces. So there you go, Greg. I mean, now we're into the lasers being perfected, and they'll be hard to escape. I mean, if you're a jet fighter, you and that those lasers get locked onto you, I mean, what do you do, Greg? So this is a whole new level of warfare now.
Yeah, it sure is.
Oh, here's a headline. I said 2 billion. President Trump this is improper English. President Trump, threatens to take 3 billion of grant money from Harvard and give it to trade schools across the U.S. So it was 3 billion, folks, 3 billion. So if this fully cuts in with them losing their foreign students and losing all those contracts and all, billions of dollars at stake here. Billions.
Yeah, right down the road from there is another school.
MIT?
Yeah.
Yeah, MIT is having its problems also. All right, this is the article. Trump administration blocks Harvard from enrolling. This is a quote. This is the article. We are taking on China. We are taking on the Democrat apparatus. Why Trump is really putting pressure on Harvard. And there's a video attached to it. It's a little long. But this is great, folks. So let me read this here paragraph. They specifically, now meaning Harvard, they specifically court foreign donors to try and get money, which puts American students at a disadvantage since they now have to be better than those students. And it takes a bold leader like Donald Trump to finally say, we're no longer going to do this. He added that this is the Obama apparatus that Trump is running into right now. He's doing this on purpose due to Penny Pritzker, a former Obama cabinet official who is also the sister of Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, being chair of the Harvard board. And we're taking on China. We're taking on the Democrat apparatus. So Harvard is much more than just a medical institution, folks. It is like the tip of the spear of the Democrat apparatus, as it says, the deep state. Harvard has opened up doors. In fact, I found out today that Xi Jinping's daughter graduated from Harvard. She graduated from Harvard under an assumed name, and they found out she's living in Massachusetts. She didn't go back to China. She's living in Massachusetts, and they have sleuths out there trying to track her down now, Greg. This is like Alice in Wonderland stuff. But anyways, China was an open portal for communist agents to come in, students to come in and get trained in physics and engineering, and then go back to China. Also for money. Huge amounts of money could come in from with the foreign students, and that donations were being made to Harvard. Harvard was also had open doors with Iran, and Harvard is supposedly worth an endowment of $52 billion, Greg. $52
billion. Wow.
And that means, I guarantee it, based on knowing how corrupt the Democrats are, that if Harvard is worth $52 billion, that they are using that money for money laundering, taking bribes, all that corruption. Harvard is a big player in the Democrat apparatus of money laundering and bribery and extortion and all of that. So Trump wants to destroy it. He knows. Trump knows what it is. Amazing, Greg. You know, I didn't like Harvard because what it stands for and what it produces, but everything the Democrats touch is complete corruption, Greg.
Yeah.
So that covers, there's some more about the Middle East, but I want to get over to cover some other areas. Greg, any comments in the Middle East?
Well, I figure if they went after Trump the way they did, we should just remember to pray for Trump.
I mean, he's literally brick by brick, Greg. Everything he does is measured. Everything he does, nothing is wasted. Everything he does, we mightn't see it like Harvard, but it will show. He has directive in what he's doing. It's not just haphazard. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he is destroying brick by brick the deep state here in America.
Thank God for that.
Oh, Greg, well, we were right at the Listen, I saw something here, and I wanted to play the video, and I did. I know I did save it. Okay, here's what happened. In Hungary, they had a meeting of what they're calling patriots, Hungarian patriots, like we have here, American patriots. And what happened was they are so encouraged, they are so charged by President Trump that they opened, this is Hungarian, this isn't America, that they opened this meeting Saturday, it was yesterday, with our national anthem.
And I saw that. That
did
was
you see
really
it?
Something.
Oh, it was. Yeah. It was so inspiring. So let me get this and get it out so everybody can see it. It's short. Yeah, I'll be able to get it over to you. So hang on here for a second. There, here we go. Now remember, folks, this is Hungary, the nation of Hungary, not the United States. And they are so moved. We are so, politically, we are so exhorting them with what Trump has done and destroying the deep state and standing up to this corruption. I mean, standing up to the European Union, standing up to Russia, China, and all, that they've been overwhelmed, and they
They see us as leadership. So here we go. I'm going to indulge, folks. I'm very moved. I'm going to watch it again. All right, Greg? I'm going to indulge here.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, knowing everything that's going on. Yeah, and now we got to realize that these are Hungarian, and they would be patriots, but they're acknowledging America now in leadership for freedom in the world to help them to destroy the European Union. The European Union is not elected, folks. These are self-proclaimed politicians that are trying to destroy Hungary because Hungary won't come under their dictate. Romania won't come. They're after Italy. Italy, the three countries I know that are really making a stand is somewhat Holland. But Turkey, but Hungary, Romania, and Italy are really taking a stand. So I just was really touched by the whole thing. I mean, it wasn't necessarily the national anthem, which I heard many, many, many times, of course, we all have. But this is Hungary. And they're so charged. They're so encouraged. They're so edified by what's happening in America that it's oozing. It's flowing into them. Amazing, Brother Greg. Amazing. I mean, how would it feel if all of a sudden we heard the Hungarian national anthem here? I mean, we don't know the language. Now, probably half of the Hungarians or more know English, or at least enough English. I mean, 0.00001 in America speak Hungarian. There's no other way it could be. This is just incredible, folks. Incredible. God's doing. Absolutely incredible. Greg, any comments?
Well, I agree with you 100%.
What an honor. I mean, this is an honor.
Yeah.
To have a nation like that look to America for encouragement. All right, let's get back over to what's going on. I'm looking at the headline. Boulder, terrorist is illegal alien who entered the U.S. in 2022 under Joe Biden. There we go, Greg. He is an illegal alien. Wow. Absolutely wow.
So who is the alien? Which one?
The one that threw the firebombs in Colorado.
Okay.
He's an illegal alien.
Yeah, they had several different things, but they bunched all around Colorado and the accompanying ones too on the side, you know, hidden in those rocks and everything for concerts. But I bet you they weren't taking any concerts anymore.
Huh.
I used to do a lot of work over there, and it's something really, really good looking things down there under the ground and everything. And it's set up really well, but that was about the only thing that I saw. Now I wouldn't even go through there.
All right, Greg, I got to get back to these articles. Here's another one. India and Pakistan, a bad nuclear war. And there's a political analyst or political military analyst. His name is Chang. He's Chinese-American, but he's really good. And he wrote this article. So anything he writes, I pay attention to. Basically, what he said is that Pakistan, first of all, I have another article, India's economy booms as China's fumbles. India is spurging, folks. China is shriveling up on the vine, and India is surging. But India is a gigantic economic powerhouse, and Pakistan is dying. Literally, the nation is dying in everything, every way. But as a result of this war, well, this like almost war they had with India, Pakistan is convinced now that they can hold off India, that India, because Pakistan has nuclear weapons, that basically can get away with everything with India. And so the article is expecting more war, that Pakistan to continue its terrorism against India. Also, Trump has done his use of tariffs is masterful, folks. What's happening? It's incredible. And already we've got
almost 20% more exports than we had. 20% more based on what Trump's doing right now. And Europe, if they don't come around, I think it's in August, there's going to be a 50% tariff on all the European economies, nations, on all, you know, all the European Union. So, Greg, this is like incredible. Everything we're seeing is, it's a whole new world. Who ever heard, except from President Trump, the use of tariffs like this? And he's like a genius. He's like a genius with it, Brother Greg. You know?
Yeah. And who could go to the Saudis and then get a big Boeing plane? And
That plane was worth $300 million. And the Democrats are going crazy because they think it's his personal plane, and it's not. It belongs. He's going to use it as president, but it was given to the Secretary of State. It's coming through the Secretary of State, and everything comes through them. There's a whole procedure for this. So all Trump said is America will accept it, and they're thinking that this is his personal plane. It's his toy. And it belongs to the American government, Brother Greg.
I didn't even know that.
Yes. Was,
with all that other stuff, that printing on the outside and everything, it kind of threw me off.
Well, that'll be redone. You know, that'll be redone.
But Boeing is, Boeing has really got some bad stuff going on. You know, if you go on a trip, be sure you don't get into a Boeing something or other. I mean, these people they're not even close to, they're just, it's crazy.
Well, we'll see. Trump has given them a military contract to bring them around. He mentioned what you said, but he said, Boeing has turned the corner now and they're going to be back on their feet. So, all right.
Well, I hope so.
All right. India's economy booms as China fumbled. Now, this may sound strange, folks, and this is just a thought. I'm not preaching this like I believe it. Yet. All right. India's economy booms as China fumbles. Maybe the kings from the East in Revelation 16 might be led by India and not China. Communism must be destroyed because during the tribulation, all nations will be pagan under the whore of Babylon. India being pagan will fit right in now. So just a thought, Greg, that there's nothing in the Bible says that it's going to be China other than we looked at how China accelerated, and China had a formidable military and all of that. And India was just floundering. But India isn't floundering anymore, folks. And it's putting together a very good military, and then their navy is a superior navy now. They have certain missiles they developed, and I can't pronounce them. They're strange names, but they're second to none, and they have them aimed at China. And they have special forces in the Himalayas to thwart China, because China has a couple times have tried to overrun India up in the Himalayas, and India's turned them back each time. So India is formidable now. It's formidable. It's a formidable nation with a booming economy and a military that's really, really starting to come around. So, Greg, what do you think of my my little theory here that maybe China might not be the kings from the east, that India might.
Yeah, that could be. When I was taking care of this big thing, it was like 60, and the people were complaining about this and that and this, and then the people came up to me and I solved all their problems really quick, and then it was down in the Boston area, so anything can happen with anybody.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it's like,
and great. Especially the ones that were doing that, they were East Indian people that gave me this pickup truck for $200.
Well, Greg, it's like years and years and years ago. I'm talking about back in the 70s. All the prophecy people were talking about communism being destroyed in war with Israel. That Ezekiel 38:39 was Russia. Okay. And that Russia was going to come under communism and God was going to destroy it. Well, communism is dead in Russia. The only place communism, well, China, but communism is alive in the Ivy League schools in America. Really. Otherwise, it's dead almost every place else except China. So, but communism fell, and all that prophecy preaching, I mean, was wrong. That God destroyed communism there in Russia anyways before Ezekiel 38 and 39. So we've been looking at China because it's in the east. And it's powerful. But now we see India arising.
Yeah.
And could India actually be the major force here in the end times for the kings of the East? I don't know, folks. I don't know how far India is going to go, but I know India has really turned around, folks. It's formidable now. China is, looks like it's on its last legs. And you see all the riots taking place in China, all the factories are burning now. There's riots in the streets. And it seems like, chunks of the Chinese population is disappearing. Huge sections of the economy has collapsed already. The real estate, the banking, and the industrial parts, and China is drowning in debt. They can't get out of it. I mean, it's just like a black hole being sucked down into, where India is going the exact opposite. So as this,
remember those giant places that they built?
Yes, the cities.
They just one right after another.
The ghost cities.
Yeah.
China has built enough ghost cities that they're the size of Chicago. And folks, I don't know what the Chinese were thinking and all of this, but they built these, they're big apartment buildings, like 30 stories high. And they built like these whole cities, and they built along with it, like interstates to it, rail lines to it, an airport, and no one lives in it. No one. Well, I understand that there's a very tiny group of people that live in it, but they built it, and then whatever way they built it, wherever they placed it, it wasn't practical. All right, you could say one city. I mean, they built literally cities, the ghost cities.
Yeah, yeah, they
but
sure
then
did.
It turns out to be like five or six of them, and they're huge. And if you put them all together, they're like the size of Chicago.
Wow.
And they're not called ghost cities for nothing. That's what they are. They're ghost cities. No one's in them. But interstates run through them and rail lines run through them. And they have an airport. No one's in it, folks. Greg, it's like mystifying that you built a city like that and no one is in it. Oh, no, five cities.
Yeah, it is. It's bizarre.
Now, the other thing with this is Japan. Now, I've been very, very quiet about Japan because there hasn't been much to report. Other than China was really, really threatening Japan maybe a couple of years back. I'm going to guess three years back. And China would send its fleet real close to Japan, and it would fly its airplanes close to Japan. And it was threatening Japan. And Japan told China, if they don't stop, that within like 6 months, Japan will have nuclear weapons. And all of a sudden, China stopped. You don't hear one word, not one, of China trying to bully Israel like it did up to 3 years ago. It was like a regular thing, folks, where they would, their submarines would surface like within Japanese waters, and their ships would go right on the edge of international zones, and their planes would fly real close. Japan said, if you don't stop it, we'll build nuclear weapons. So they stopped it. Japan has a formidable navy. They fly our airplanes. Their navy electronically is tops in the world. Japanese are electronic geniuses there. But starting back in the 1900s, Japan was buying up like everything in America. Huge. It was buying up all sorts of buildings and industries and all. And the Japanese were running high on the hog. And then it had a huge crash. The stock market crashed, the real estate crash. Something like's going on in Japan, right? In fact, I would say what China is going through now, Japan went through, I'm going to say roughly 30 years ago. And what they had to do is they had to go into great debt to save their economy. And Japan has never gotten out of it, folks. Never. They are so much in debt that they can't get out. They just can't get out of it. And they're in trouble in many ways. And one of the ways they're in trouble with the elderly, like the, our equivalent of Social Security or their equivalent of Social Security. So this is what China looks like at the end of the road. Japan, it looks like Japan is at the end of the road. So we have right now, we have China and Japan, two economic powerhouses that are literally falling apart. I told you there's the riots going on in Japan. There is outspokenness in the riots against the Communist Party of China. Factories are being burned, things like that. Unheard of in China. Absolutely unheard of. But it's happening right now. So here's from Japan. It's a video about Japan. And the article is a write-up about the video. Right now, Japan is facing what might be its most severe economic crisis since World War II. Angry protesters are gathering outside government buildings in Tokyo, shouting, "We are not your ATM." Rice, the cornerstone of Japanese culture, has disappeared from supermarket shelves. Families are surviving on rice seasoning because they can't afford proper meals. And it is an unprecedented move that sent shockwaves throughout the global markets. Japanese Prime Minister just publicly admitted that Japan's financial situation is worse than Greece's. Greece is like, it's like, doesn't have it. It's like Lebanon, Greece. So Japan is in big, big, big trouble, folks. At the same time, China is in big, big, big trouble. This is very serious, folks. I mean, because from what I understand, the Japanese bond market has gone crazy, and going crazy is bad. When the bond market spikes, that means the bond, when the bond market spikes, that means the stock market is in trouble. And the bond market in Japan is spiking, which means we might have a total collapse of the Japanese stock market, which would be the loss of trillions of dollars on top of all the debt they have now. So something like that could start a worldwide contagion of stock market collapse. So I want you to be aware of all of this, folks. Things are brewing, very serious in Japan. Very serious, China. Very serious. Things are very, very serious now with Russia and the Ukraine. Russia thought it could bully the Ukraine and pound them into submission. And the Ukraine came out of no place and destroyed half of their a half and third of their airports. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. We're about to get into a war with Iran, with the possibility of Iran destroying 25% of the world's oil supply by cutting it off from Saudi Arabia. So there we are. Even so, come Lord Jesus. But it's just important that we keep aware, folks, aware, and that we don't let up. We keep working for the Lord as hard as we can, because we never know what event may occur, like Japan. I mean, we might see the Japanese market collapse like it did here in 1929, and Japan would pull, if the Japanese banks collapse and Japanese industry, we have untold numbers of money in their banks and bonds from here and into their stock market, their corporations. We're all intertwined. Japanese have a lot invested in America. We have a lot invested in Japan. And it could be just like, it's like a black hole. And it you know, we're hanging on to Japan, or Japan's hanging on to us. And Japan goes down into the black hole and drags us in with it.
My grandmother was a strong, great grandmother was a strong. And her son was a Patterson. So when this happened, he got on a ship and went and filled it up with cattle and took it over there to Japan, right after Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And he taught them how to do cattle and all this other stuff with farming and everything that they had never done.
Wow. Wow.
And another one was the oldest one in the family, besides my grandfather, Patterson. He was the one that drove the guy around right after Hiroshima and Nagasaki and he was in charge of that. So okay. Everything's weird. I mean, it's just when you look at it, you know.
All right. Well, let's switch over now. We're into the third hour. And when we go into the third hour, we open it up with discussion and questions. So let me open up Uber Conference right now. Come on. Here we go. All right. So the bit has been taken. You're free now. You're free. So
yes, sir.
Brother Charles is here.
I don't understand how Russia can survive unless they use a nuclear weapon on Ukraine to stop all this.
Well, that's a potential.
They're bleeding out. You know, but, I mean, yeah. You're bleeding out.
Yeah, Brother Charles, that's a distinct potential. We don't know when Russia just Russia. Now, if you had the old Soviet Union included a lot of other nations like Lithuania, Estonia, Latvia. There was Ukraine was a part of the old Soviet Union. But a lot of those stands, like Turkestan, and I didn't even know they were countries till Russia fell apart and they gained independence. But so Russia is limited. It doesn't have the resources that it had prior to 1989. And they've lost so many men. I mean, like, I think 1 million left and went to other countries outside of Russia. They didn't want to be a part of the war. Then their tanks, they've lost all sorts of tanks, airplanes, ships, armored vehicles. I don't know how many soldiers, like 1 million have been killed and wounded. So how much can Russia go, Brother Charles, before it's got nothing left? So I'm wondering, I mentioned to everyone here about India maybe leading the kings from the east. Does Russia fit the bill right now for Ezekiel 38 and 39, Brother Charles? The way Russia is going, does it fit Ezekiel 38 and 39?
Well, I don't know, Jim. It's a good question. I think their nuclear doctrine is if the country is at stake or possibly the possibility of it crumbling, then they can use nuclear weapons. And with this latest attack, 40-plus bombers hit. Yeah. I mean, how the heck do they survive? Putin's got to do something. I'm just waiting to see
right.
what he does.
Right. Well, yeah, right. I mean, is this push Russia into a corner now?
Oh.
They can't replace those bombers. Yeah, you're right. So, but here's the thing. Ukraine can't overrun Russia.
No.
But Russia could be bled out. I mean, literally bled out against the Ukraine. So, yes, this is a very, very serious situation. Okay, Charles.
Thank you, Chaplain John, for everything.
Okay. And then we have Paula Jean here, Sharon here. Gigi and Randy are here. Rita is here. So, Sister Paula Jean, any questions before I continue?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. You're quiet.
Yeah, I'm quiet.
All right. So let's take a look in the third hour now at just a kind of a hodgepodge of important things. And right off the bat, this is super interesting. President Trump is instituting a 80-hour constitution course for all these executives in the federal government. They're going to learn the Constitution of the United States. Oh, my. See, I never dreamed of something like that. Brother Greg, they're going to take an 80-hour course. This isn't like an hour course and out you go. This is incredible. So here's what's – let me read from the article. I just saw this. The development program requires 80 hours of video-based training and in 2 days. No, it can't be in 2 days. And in 2 days of in-person training in Washington, D.C. It will affect government employees across the administration and disparate agencies and go live this September. The stated goal to ensure that they're called SES. They're the highest government officials. Uphold the Constitution and the rule of law and effectively serve the American people. Wow, 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 wow.
This inspired.
Yeah. They'll get fired if they don't come around. It's funny. It's almost like you could view it as propaganda, but it's like to instill American values and culture in these people. They've been hard. You know, this is brilliant. I mean, this is really brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
This is the latest effort. Yes.
I compare this to, okay, this is their job. They need to know what their job is. It's just like being a nurse or what any other thing. You know, you just can't go in there blind. You need to know what you're doing and why you're doing it. And there's usually clauses that go along with most of these activities. And to me, I think it's important that they know the Constitution. And I think that they should start reteaching the Constitution back in elementary. I remember they used to.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right. So that's what he's doing now. A lot of these people in the government, you know, who knows what liberal schools they went to, and then they went to Harvard or Yale and other schools like that. So they probably have no idea whatsoever what the Constitution says. They're alienated from it, and now they're in the government. So this is the latest effort in an ongoing campaign to crush what the White House sees as an unaccountable administrative state. Trump began slashing and burning his way through the agencies as soon as he returned to office, with a particular emphasis on senior executive service. Normally little noticed and non-controversial, they are elite of the career civil servants who serve just below presidential employees and wield tremendous influence over the federal levels of power. I think this is just absolutely incredible. I don't know if it'll do any good, but I think it's just wonderful what he's doing. Wonderful.
Well, and what is so beautiful to me is that everybody within that realm will be known by each other to have learned this. They will no longer be excusable because they will have had the education that they need.
Amen.
How can you hold them accountable when you have no idea what knowledge they have?
Yeah, have no idea. They function on a guttural level. Like, instead of having principles, American principles, they have this here. They're the center of power. You know, they are the ones that control America rather than the people. So this is refocusing them. Whether it'll do anything or not, I don't know. But I think it's wonderful that he is he's doing this. I mean, it's like remedial. It is. It's remedial Constitution of the United States.
I love it.
Absolutely wonderful. All right, let me look at some of these other things now that we're talking about. Okay, now this is interesting also. Here is the headline. Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem on illegal immigration with Maria Bartiromo. We are going to do mass deportations. So things are, as from the article, and two interesting things, two very important things from this article. One is they're probably going to use all the high tech, like Social Security and Medicaid and whatever other ones. They're going to be able to identify legal aliens and to then remove them they all the benefits would be blocked, and they'll be able to identify them at where they live and work and things like that. So that will make mass deportation easy. But the other thing, which is amazing here, is what she said, what the Secretary of Homeland Security said, is that they have they've identified all the sanctuary cities, and they're identifying everything these sanctuary cities are doing to hinder the removal of illegal aliens. And they're putting criminal cases against mayors, sheriffs, chiefs of police. I would assume also governors. That governor of Illinois is ripe to be arrested. And the one in Massachusetts also, she's ripe to be arrested. So this is incredible, folks. I mean, we may wake up one day and hear that 30 mayors and sheriffs of the largest cities of America, or some of the largest cities in America, have been a mass arrest. They've been arrested for supporting illegal aliens and hindering the federal government for doing its job. I mean, this is all a dream come true. Brother Greg, any comments about that?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a good thing. And 50% tariffs, if they're not foundering, 20% exports. I mean, so that, and then Japan is not really a big troublemaker or anything, but we'll see what happens there.
Yeah.
But China, yeah, and everywhere else, I mean, that is like a hellhole. They just go right in wherever they want, and they just dig it up. And,
those days are over now.
Oh, really?
Well, Trump is stopping them. Trump is stopping them.
Oh, yeah. Well, is. Oh, okay.
Sure. That's what he's in the process of doing. So all of just taking him. Well, what happened was he had people here, like Biden and Harvard and huge numbers of the Democrats that were pro-Chinese and anti-American. That's all come to an end now. So this is really something. But we're going to see the mayors of many, many, many cities in America arrested for supporting and encouraging and protecting illegal aliens. The next thing I want to bring up is about these COVID vaccines. The article says Florida Health Department confirms Pfizer vaccine killed over 470,000 Americans. Well, let me read the article, and then we need a serious discussion about this. The head of the Florida's Department of Health, Surgeon General Joseph Lepeto, has revealed that Pfizer COVID mRNA vaccine killed over, now look at this, 470,000 Americans, most of them were the elderly. But nonetheless, I mean, they were killed. The alarming finding was revealed in Florida's official data. Florida Health Department collaborated with scientists from world-renowned Massachusetts Institute of Technology to investigate surges in all causes of mortality rates in the state. The researchers found that Pfizer's vaccine in particular caused dramatic increases in deaths from all causes, included COVID-19, non-COVID, cardiovascular. Alarmingly, the study confirmed that COVID mRNA vaccines triggered a global surge in all causes of mortality rates. Now, that's been known I mean, I remember when that, it's not a vaccine, I call it the death shot. When that came out,
yeah,
all sorts of scientists were saying what we see now is going to happen. They knew beforehand. Now, this here, the Surgeon General is a very significant public official. I mean, he's not like a minor player. He's a major player. And it's not only him, but there are many, many investigations that have shown that these shots have killed an enormous amount, especially the elderly. And why is it, like, the information came out, but there's no fire connected with it. There's no urgency. There's no, it just dies. Like, all of this stuff, it goes into like a fog. And it's incredible. 470,000 people died from what's supposed to be a vaccine, and they die from it. And it's like the whole system yawns. Oh, well, yeah, okay, let's move on. Somebody's got to be held accountable. Politicians have to be held accountable. The pharmaceuticals have to be held accountable. They've got so much money, so much influence. The media is going along with it. But let me rephrase this, or let me restate this. 470,000 of Americans died. And it's not over yet, folks. It's not. But it's silent. Now, all of a sudden, there is a tremendous increase in cancer. There's a tremendous increase in heart failure. You know, there's a tremendous increase in kidneys and liver failure. And you can't directly say, well, they took the COVID-19 shot and that's what did it. You can do it, but it's not like they all died, you know, a week or a month later. It's years now coming down. It's years how the shot neutralized the immune system, which is exactly what they said, the scientists in the know, exactly said what was going to happen. So how do we fight against this? How do we, like, come on? What did Pfizer know? And maybe it's time that these Pfizer executives, you know, a couple hundred of them, are arrested and tried for war crimes or something. I mean, not, and the politicians that went along with it and the media, but 400, half a million, and they're continuing to die from it. So, Brother Charles, what is your take on this?
I don't, like you said, I don't understand why the silence, you know.
Because they have so much money, you know.
Yes, sir. But President Trump and Governor DeSantis need to chill from the root. President Trump could do it. He could hold them accountable, and it just needs to be brought to his direct attention, I think. You know,
well, that's true.
He would do it.
Well, that's true, but these politicians, you know, they know it. Why not senators? Why not congressmen holding, you know, and why not refer it to the Attorney General's office and the FBI and all, and, you know, and hold committees there in Congress that will coordinate with the FBI to get all the information they can need. But nothing. It's like,
Nothing.
Yeah. There's nothing on this.
It's bizarre. It's like when Governor Cuomo put all those, you know, killed off all those people, those elderly people, put them in, you know, COVID situations and they died. And he was never held accountable. I mean, it's just,
yeah, the only way he's being held accountable now is because of perjury. You know, he lied before Congress, but the actual murdering he did, it's fair to say that Cuomo killed white by white collar stuff, you know, memos and directives. He killed a good 20,000 New York elderly. And all right, he killed them by what his decrees were and all of this, but they died like the families couldn't be with them. These people were like in a room by themselves for weeks on end, lonely. No one to hold grandma's hand and pray over her and things like that. I mean, so it, they died, but there's much more to it than that. Much more. And he is heartless. Absolutely. And now he wants to run for mayor of New York.
Mayor of New York.
Yeah. Heartless. Absolutely heartless.
He's climbing the ladder again. Governor didn't want to be president.
So no, if anybody wants to discuss any of this, please call in 717-409-5553. Gigi and
it's
Randy.
One of those things.
Yeah, go ahead.
Cap, that, it may be the next. It may be God that judges him instead of man.
Yeah. That, in the end, that's what's going to happen to him if he doesn't literally repent and turn to Christ. But, you know, God has set it up for man's judgment here, too, on earth. But what he did, and he would be lying. He'd be on the TV lying about what he's doing to save people from COVID. And he's doing this, and he's doing that. And all blowing himself up. And there he was behind the scenes, literally. He was responsible because he sent those sick COVID patients back into the nursing homes. He sent them back in. And the COVID spread like wildfire through the nursing home and just just killed massive numbers of elderly. And now the next one is in 2024, last year, Planned Parenthood committed 402,230 abortions and received $800 million in taxpayer funding for 2024. Wow. Wow. All right. Planned Parenthood carries... Hold on, please. Planned Parenthood carries out 1,100 abortions per day and receives over 2 million a day in taxpayer funding. Any comment about that, Brother Greg?
That's disgusting.
Wow.
Wow. Well, you used to be outside those places.
Yeah. Yeah. Planned Parenthood, York, yeah, Pennsylvania. Well, it's amazing. We could see how wickedness is in charge now until the Lord returns. Good is evil and evil is good. But here it is, killing babies. They get almost like 800 million. They get 800 million a year. Evil. Evil. And it's in this world, we're always fighting against evil. You know, it seems to have the upper hand in so many ways. And that's when we bring the Lord into it. And we can defeat Satan by the Lord with us. But, you know, the system here, it just because we live in a sin-cursed, fallen world, the system, Satan gets on top. And we have to bring them down in Jesus' name. Never give up. Another article I have is violent leftists attack Christians at rally. And guess who the mayor blames? So the Christians in Seattle had a permit to be at park in Seattle. And apparently the park homosexuals believe it's theirs, but the Christians applied to it or applied for it. They got it, and they were standing against transgenderism, and also there was something else. I can't remember what it was. So, and they were having a meeting and they were praying and calling out to the Lord and things like that. But then Antifa came, and Antifa got real violent and busted everything up. The police came, or the police ended up arresting quite a few in Antifa. And then the mayor came out and proclaimed that the Christians were the source of all this problem, that Seattle is an open city, except for Christians. It's an open city, and everybody's welcome, and everybody's loved, and the Christians are just full of hate and all that. So here's what the mayor said. Seattle is proud of our reputation as a welcoming, inclusive city for LGBTQ communities, and we stand with our trans neighbors when they face bigotry and injustice. Today's far right rally was held here for this very reason, to provoke a reaction by promoting beliefs that are inherently opposed to our city's values. In the heart of Seattle's most prominent LGBTQ neighborhood. So if you stand for life, if you stand for marriage between a man and a woman, if you stand for children being protected from the homosexual agenda and literally being mutilated, then you are hateful. And so Antifa was let loose in there. The police ended up arresting some of them. But what happened in this, President Trump has set up he did request it, and Attorney General Bondi has set up a civil rights specifically for Christians in the Justice Department. And anything like this where Antifa came and the city's mayor was behind them, they have picked it up and they are investigating the mayor. And what I hope they do is they penetrate Antifa and they bust it open and end up arresting a lot of them and do it all over the nation, so Antifa is no longer being able to function. The only reason it functions is the FBI allows it, the Justice Department allows it, governors allow it, mayors allow it. And that's why Antifa can function. But if you come against it, especially on the federal level, you can bust it up and break it down to virtually nothing. That's what we need. It has to be viewed as like a terrorist organization. So, let's see, Gigi and Randy, are you here? Do you have any questions?
No.
Not that we can think of. I do know that, I don't know if you're familiar with, there are several medical groups that have been at the forefront from the very beginning, and they are holding symposiums all over people from all over the world.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're doing research. And in fact, two of the doctors, Dr. Pierre Corey and Dr. Paul Merrick, they were at, I think it was the Eastern College of Medicine in Virginia. And they threw them out of their practice. They threw them out of the hospital with hospital privileges. And they started an organization which has now morphed into really an incredible organization. And now they have put together with all these people, it's all over the world. There's people in Italy and Spain and Argentina and unusual places, and they're all got together, and they are going to produce their own medical journal with all of the research. And they have been going around the country. In fact, they were north of us here, I don't know, at least three or four times in the last 3 years. And they continue to do that. And you can listen to their seminars, and you can read their papers. And then there's two other doctors also that have been doing this who are part of groups. And they're doing independent research, and they publish lots of information and are finally being recognized.
Well, what they're doing is very important, and I am aware of them. They're extremely important. But you see, that's the good what you just did has brought out what I've been saying. They have been speaking out in seminars and all over the world. And yet it's silent. You know, they'll show, look, this study here from Great Britain and blah, blah, blah. And it shows this great increase in children's dying from heart attack is directly connected to these COVID shots. And they show all the evidence. A lot of it is government and evidence, insurance evidence. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. It's dead silence. But this is good.
Yeah,
what they're doing is good, Gigi. It's really good.
But it's, you know, it's interesting because I had a conversation with a nurse who worked at one of the local hospitals here. And we were talking about, she's aware of what's going on now. But she said, you know, we were so ignorant and nobody was telling us. And we were just trying to help people. And she meant it, you know. And so I think that there's a lot of people in, there's still a lot of people that are in the medical system that are, you know, they get paid off by pharmacy and all of that kind of stuff. But, and they're not allowed to do it in their workplace. But I'm happy to see that there are people. She said there's a lot of nurses now that understand what was going on. Maybe not completely, but they know it was a scam. But I don't know. Maybe, you know, it's like what you said, it's not really being, I mean, CNN is never going to cover that because they're paid.
Right.
They're paid shows.
And many of the politicians are paid off also.
Right. Yes. Well, you know, if you have the pharmaceuticals, but I did read an article on their website that there are something like 500 CVS stores closing. And so I don't know what that means exactly, but, we're praying that RFK Jr. will be able to do something. And he has made some statements, but, you know, nobody's reporting on it, but that he is doing that. So.
All right. All that information is out there. See, isn't it, that shows you, the devil's influence. The lies are on top. The bribe money, the payoff money is there in huge amounts. And the criminals are on top. And yet we come out with the truth. We, meaning the people that believes like us, we come out with the truth, all the scientific evidence, what you need to prove it, and crickets. So the lie still stays up on top and the truth is underneath it. And people are trying to, you know, like these nurses, I guess they don't follow the same news sources that we do. So they're blinded by it. They have no idea. It's sad, but there's that evil. There's evil. We've got to fight and claw our way through evil to get the truth out. And evil just so easily promotes lies, and they control with lies. Look how much of the world's system here is controlled by lies. Frightening.
Don?
Yes.
I just wanted to make one more comment, which is Randy and I are so grateful that we didn't go through that period of time alone, and that, you know, you were on top of things. We knew about this before, but we weren't with a group of people, and all of us praying together and understanding and having you, you know, just reinforce it. It's not that we were going to go the other direction, but I honestly, we've had so many conversations like this. We don't know what we would have done if we hadn't been together with you and the rest of the group of the people there. And I know Sharon had, she knew early on because of her research about HIV, which I didn't know as much, obviously, as she did. But I just, you know, we are so thankful, John. Seriously. We keep saying, I don't know what we would have done. I mean, yeah, we mean that. So we're really grateful. And thank you for, you know, standing up for the truth and encouraging all of us and praying, you know, praying in that regard. And, yeah, because we didn't, I mean, we had friends that knew, but we weren't in contact with them. But, you know, you really carried us through by having the meetings, praying about these things, talking about these things, and we're just super grateful. That's all I can say. Praise God, and thank God for you.
Thank you. I really, that really edified me. And I look at what happened during COVID. It's very similar to being like an abortion center. You know, there are babies alive, or they're older now, but babies were saved. Right. Some of them directly because of my interaction, talking and interacting with the mother and father there. And some of them in general because I was there. But nonetheless, they're alive. And it's the same with COVID. I mean, like most of the women go in for abortions and only a small percentage won't. They'll save the baby. Same with COVID. I mean, so many, they got this, well, the fear of death, really, what was causing it. The COVID was showed the fear of death, like manifested. I can remember at shopping centers and people pulling into shopping centers with masks on. They're in the car by themselves. They have a mask on.
Yes.
They get out of the car and they walk the parking lot into the store with a mask on. And they'll come back out with a mask on, get in the car with the mask on, and drive off. I mean, totally. That's fear does that. That's fear.
Yeah.
But there are some people that didn't take the COVID shot, and that is really huge for their health. Really, really, really huge.
Right.
Yes.
You know, Jeff and John, anytime, you know, when I was in the hospital here recently or whenever, I ask them and they're going to give me an IV with this and or that in it. And I go, there's nothing in there, just, you know, anti-COVID type stuff. Oh, no. We wouldn't do that. And I go, okay. And stuff that I have to agree with Gigi, what she said, that we had and still do. We have Abba Father International as our support, our background, and where we can share what we know and learn stuff that we don't know. And I do appreciate you for that, Chaplain John, very much.
Thank you. No, that's very nice. I appreciate everybody saying that. That's very, very, very nice to know that you made an impact on people's lives rather than just sitting here and saying things, which, okay, there is a place for that, but it actually had an impact where people might be alive today because they didn't take the death shot. I mean, it's really serious. I'll tell you what happened with me. I didn't know whether this thing was real or not. You know, I watched I watched all this going on in China and people dying, huge numbers in China from this COVID. Then it came here. And I'm wondering. And the next thing you know, there's the COVID shot. And I heard Bill Gates with excitement talking about there's a vaccine coming. And everybody's going to have to take a vaccine in the world. Everyone. And then there's maybe a second vaccine, maybe a third vaccine. And I looked at him and his eyes and his demeanor, and I said, this is from hell. This is from hell. Yeah. Bill Gates, I mean, he is evil personified. And I knew, that's when I knew. When I saw Bill Gates' reaction to it, I said, this is evil. And sure enough, I was right. As things came out. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me see what else I have here, and then we're going to call it a night. This is interesting. It's not a big deal, but in a way it is a big deal. Pam Bondi drops American Bar Association and special treatment from DOJ. So when they were going to appoint judges to on the federal bench, the American Bar Association would make a recommendation, and sometimes they would vote or they would accept it just based on the American Bar Association. So now, I mean, the ABA has been locked into hard left for since it started, and now the federal government is saying that the ABA is just like any other organization. I mean, they were lock solid hard left, and now they have no import other than like any other organization. I was very happy. That's a way of just getting all this stuff off us. Get rid of it. It's all hard left protecting each other, advancing each other, standing for their cause together. And it's being stripped away on every level. So that meant, as I read it, I was very happy to see the ABA is being cut away, has no influence anymore over the federal government. Okay, we've got about 15 minutes left. So I think we can see if there are any questions, and we'll pray. We'll pray there for the end. So let me see now. Hang on. All right, Paula Jean, any question or comment? And then we can have some prayer.
Well, I'll add my comment of agreement with the situation about the information that you put out to the group to help protect us from things that we may not know so that we can make more informed choices.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. And also through the news provision that you give to us and the discussion that follows, it helps us also know things that need to be prayed, support of, in agreement with the Lord's, way instead of the world's way, and what's on the current agenda of the enemy. And what, is really calling for prayer. And you don't put it out there as such, but you get the information out. And then Holy Spirit just prompts the people that are to climb on that particular assignment and makes it so much easier to hear from the Holy Spirit and know what it's about.
Amen.
So I thank you for that.
Yeah.
And that's my contribution tonight.
All right. And then Sharon, any comment? And then if you have a word of prayer for us, please.
Yes, I do. My comment is that we all just need to stay together. We all need to pray for one another and come to the different groups and the timings and the prayer times, and just know that we are welcome at all the prayer times and stuff. And it makes me happy knowing that we can pray just like you just asked me to pray. And I just thank you for that, Chaplain John. So, dear Father, I just thank you for tonight. I thank you for this wonderful 3 hours that we have spent together as a group, and we have learned, we've listened, we have things that we got to study, and we know where and what we need to study because of listening tonight. Dear Father, I just pray. I pray that everybody here knows you and is truly saved. And I just pray that they came here to listen and maybe get salvation. Because a lot of times we don't know who our unknown callers are, but we do pray for them too. And hopefully they have come here to learn about you. So, dear Father, I just thank you that we can learn about you. We can learn about what's going on around the world and what other people are attempting to do just to harm the Christian community. Because what's going on in the different cities and stuff is just going to be, this was just the first flare. This was just the first bottle rocket thrown. And we can just need to pray that it stops and be ready and aware of where we're at. We need to be ready and aware of where we go shopping, where we live, where other people are at, just anything that we need to do, even around our churches and everything. We just need to be cautious. And I just thank you, dear Father, that we can have eyes and people to help us with our missions of each day. And I just thank you so much for my salvation. I thank you for my family, dear Father God. And I am just so grateful just to be part of your family and to be here with Abba Father International, and just to hear and see everything that's going on around the world that Chaplain John is able to teach us. And I am just so thankful for all the prayer times that we have. And I just want to pray that if anybody else has prayer needs, that you're able to jump in here and to pray. And dear Father God, I thank you so much for this time. And I thank you so much for, I know tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, we'll be right back here and praying. And it's going to be wonderful. And I just thank you for that, dear Father God. And in your name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Sharon.
And you're welcome.
All right. And then we have, Sister Rita. Hello, Rita.
Yes, Rita, can you hear me?
Okay. Your question?
Well, we're closing, and it's just if you had any comments, and then a prayer, if you'd like to pray.
Okay, I think, I have a comment and a prayer. I think I really enjoyed the Sunday evening program because of all the information that you give out. And if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be on top of a lot of items that is happening in the world. So thank you for the Sunday night program.
Okay.
And I'll go ahead and say a prayer.
Please.
Okay. Father, I thank you. I thank you for America. I thank you that that the world has a place to go and to worship the way they choose to worship, Father. And Father, you have blessed us in America, and I give you thanks for that, Father. But Father, we are killing babies. I think it was 1,100 babies per day. And I ask, Father, that you would forgive us for this, and that you would heal us, and that this bill that was placed in front of that went through the House defunding abortion, Father, I ask, Father, in the name of my Savior, that it will go through the Senate with no problems, Father. And Father, I give you thanks for giving us President Trump. Protect him, and guide and direct him in all that he says and does for America, Father. And I pray that, Father, that President Trump would love you more, love your son and you more with each passing day. And I pray for Melania. I think she's Catholic. And I pray that she would come to the saving knowledge of your son, and that she would just worship your son and not the Virgin Mary. And Father, I pray that that you would bless President Trump and Melania's marriage. And I also pray for J.D. Vance and his wife, that they will come to the saving knowledge of your son, and that you would protect them in all that, that you would protect them from the evil men and women of this world, Father. And I give you thanks, Father, for Elon Musk, that he was able to uncover all this corruption that is going on in our government. I ask also for the saving knowledge of his son, and protect him, Father, from the evil men and women of this world. And Father, I pray that you will bless everyone that is online right now on the YouTube, X, Rumble, and Uber, and that you strengthen and comfort each and every one of us, Father. For I pray this all, Father, in the name of my Lord, my Savior, my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Brother Charles, we're at the end of the line here. And okay. I think I had you on earlier. So I'm going to turn it over to Brother Greg for a word of exhortation from the scriptures, and we'll call it a night. I can say this, that these 3 hours go very, very fast, folks, very fast. So that's a good sign. So Brother Greg, lead us in closing from the scriptures, please.
Yes. Jesus said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And no man cometh unto the Father but by him. And nobody can save you, but you need this to trust Jesus, lift him up, and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that he is raised from the dead on the third day, and you will be saved. And along with many other scriptures, all in just like this one, and admit that you're a sinner, be willing to turn away from that sin, remove that sin from your body or your thoughts, and through prayer, invite Jesus into your heart as your personal Savior, and lift up him for our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you call on the name of the Lord, which is Jesus Christ, as your Savior who died on the cross and paid the penalty for your sin, and you realize that that's what he did, and that he bodily rose from the dead, you will be saved. He paid it all, folks. There's nothing that we can add to what he did on the cross for us. So, we got just a couple, we got two more minutes left. Father, I'm asking your blessings on everybody here, Lord, a part of the ministry. I'm thanking you for truth, that you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. And Lord, that we all love the truth. We don't have our own doctrines and our own beliefs, but we have the truth of your word, and we build our beliefs around that. And then we're strong in you. We're strong in the faith. So I pray each one of us, because this world is prone to lies and malice and half-truths, Lord, slander. But the truth remains, no matter how evil this world is, the truth remains. So that's what we want, Lord, all of us to be of the truth, to be with Jesus Christ, his word in truth, Lord. So I ask for your blessings upon everyone, Lord, and that we will be back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern for 1 hour of prayer. And that's the best way to start the week off, in the morning in prayer. So we praise you and thank you now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Looking
Amen.
For that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone that hath his hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. God bless you.
I am thinking of the rapture in that blessed home on high, when redeemed again every day. How we'll sing that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed again every day. Now when the redeemed again every day, watch like snow and free from sin. Oh, I will shout. When the redeemed are gathering in, we will sing redemption's story with our voices loud and long. When the redeemed are gathering in, then the angels have to listen, for they cannot sing this song. When the redeemed.